Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Recently, I called up Jesus Herrera. For 20 years, Jesus worked as a mechanical engineer for a construction company in San Juan, Puerto Rico. But starting in the early 2000s, construction on the island really started to slow down. Jesus's boss felt a lot of pressure.
On a Monday, he came in and said that Thursday was the last day of operations of the company. He basically wrote us a check for that week's pay, and that was it.
Unemployed and in his 40s, Jesus faced a dilemma.
Stay in Puerto Rico and it would have been very sad, or make a big leap, risk it all, and move to the mainland where there were jobs.
Can you tell me where you are right now? Like, what city are you in?
Right now, I'm in Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Jesus and his wife, Mia Monique Lora, have been in Mississippi for a little under a year, and life is different there.
Everything fried. So you get fried oysters and fried and breaded, fried okra, fried Oreos.
And that very southern word, y'all, has been really confusing.
The first time I heard like, oh, y'all walk to the room and stuff like that. And I was like, you where? Like what? You don't know if she was talking to me or to the whole group.
But the biggest difference so far has actually been Jesus's job.
I came from working in a small company where I knew everybody, where, you know, I was in charge, to be a laborer.
Jesus found a job as a pipe fitter at a company building ships for the U.S. Navy. It was hard, manual labor that he wasn't used to. But luckily for him, he's been promoted and is now working as a mechanical engineer at Ingalls Shipbuilding. He and his wife, Mia, plan to stay in the South. They realize there just isn't a future for them in Puerto Rico.
I love where I'm living right now. I have to admit I have fallen in love with the South, but maybe the fact that I left the island made me love it even more because I miss it a lot.
Jesus and Mia's story isn't unique. When Jesus decided to leave the island, he contacted a local moving company.
I called and they said, oh, no, we can't do it for several months. I'm like, but I need this next week. And they said, we have a 3, 4, and 5 month waiting period because we have such a large volume that we won't even be able to go pick it up. I was like, what are you talking about?
Every week, about 1,000 Puerto Ricans, yes, 1,000, are choosing to leave the island and live somewhere else. It all comes down to something you might have heard about.
Times are hard for Puerto Rico.
Thousands of businesses have closed, hollowing out entire neighborhoods.
Educated Puerto Ricans are leaving the island in droves.
On today's show, we're going to unpack the Puerto Rican debt crisis, why it happened, how it's affecting Puerto Ricans today, and what it means for the island's future. Co-hosting with me today is our very own Julio Ricardo Varela, who is one of our resident Boricuas at Latino USA. Hey, Julio.
Hey, Maria.
All right, so start us off with some context.
All right, so here are the basics. Puerto Rico is an American territory. The 3.5 million people that live on the island are all U.S. citizens. And over the last 10 years, the government's debt has grown to $72 billion. That's billion with a B.
The Puerto Rican debt has been in the news a lot lately. But for those who aren't deep into the world of finance, it can all be a little abstract. So, Julio, break down that debt for us.
The story of the debt crisis, in a way, starts with people like Teresa Garcia.
I live in Guaynabo, Puerto Rico.
And Mel Fetter.
Married, 3 kids, 4 grandchildren.
Teresa's from Puerto Rico, Mel is from Long Island, both retired. They don't know each other, but they have something in common.
I invested in the Puerto Rico bonds.
I would say that about 60% of my entire saving was on Puerto Rican bonds.
They invested in Puerto Rican bonds in part because they were totally tax-free no matter where you lived in the country. All was going fine, and then one day, Mel got a call.
He You know, I remember that call. We were on our anniversary. We were going out to the city, and I came home, and I got this voicemail.
It was from his financial advisor saying, I don't want you to freak out, but just so you know, there might be a problem with some of those Puerto Rican bonds.
About 7 months ago, I got another letter from the company and saying, you know, Puerto Rican bonds are a little bit iffy, for lack of another word.
The bonds that Mel and Teresa bought had tanked in value. Some were trading as low as 30 cents on the dollar. That was really bad news for them. So how much have you bought? How much do you own in Puerto Rican bonds?
About $500,000.
$500,000.
Yeah, and I have lost almost half of it. I feel very worried. I feel insecure. I worked all my life. I worked hard. I thought that my future was safe, and I see all this going down the drain.
I didn't know that things were going to happen like this.
Uncertainty. That's what a lot of people in Puerto Rico are feeling now. Mel and Teresa's financial advisors told them Puerto Rican bonds were safe, and then they weren't. To help us understand why, we called up our friends at NPR's Planet Money to explain the fun-filled world of bonds.
A lot of people talk about stocks, but I'm a bonds man.
This is Robert Smith from NPR's Planet Money. So this is the question I have to ask you, Robert. What is a bond, and why would people like Mel and Teresa buy a bond in the first place?
You know, a country or a state or a city, they're just like you and I. If they want to buy something big, they want to buy a house or a car in our case, or in their case, you know, build a power plant or pave new roads, they borrow money. And the thing a government borrows money from is the people. It issues a bond, an IOU, to the people, and the people are like, here, take my money, pay me some interest. And the reason why Mel and Teresa would buy them is that they are so boring, so dull, but so reliable. And if you're a retiree, you don't want to be in the stock market. It's up and down and up and down. You want something that is just going to pay you a little bit of money day in and day out. And so most retirees go into bonds. They lend money to a government because, of course, a government's going to pay you back. What could go wrong?
But why did Mel and Teresa's bonds lose value?
Well, because a bond is only as good as the promise that someone's going to pay it back. And most countries have no problem with this because they can raise taxes, they have their own currency. But Puerto Rico is just in this weird situation being a territory. And they've sort of publicly started to say, after a decade of financial problems, we may not be able to pay this back. And the moment you say, we may not be able to pay it back, that is when nobody wants Puerto Rican bonds. And so in order, if you wanted to sell them, if you wanted to get out of them, if you wanted to have a safe, boring retirement again, nobody's going to buy them. You're going to have to lower the price lower and lower.
So the bonds are losing value, right? But now you have these other investors that are buying these bonds on the cheap, the so-called vulture funds. If the bonds are no longer safe investments, why are these firms buying them?
Because these people are not retirees. They don't want a safe, boring investment. They want to make a ton of money. So once the Puerto Rican bonds become high risk, they also become high reward, right? A bond fund can walk in and say to Mel or Teresa, hey, listen, I'm going to take those off your hand for 40 cents on the dollar, 30 cents on the dollar, 20 cents on the dollar. And, you know, Mel's panicked. He takes the money. Fine. Now, if they can get Puerto Rico to pay that money back in full, they have quadrupled, you know, quintupled their money overnight just by doing that.
How do they get the Puerto Rican government to pay them? You say there's a big return here. How does that all happen?
Well, I mean, one thing they have is they have power. And what they can do is hire a lot of lawyers. They can take Puerto Rico to court, and a judge can demand that Puerto Rico say, fire some police officers and send that money, you know, to the vulture funds.
So the government has a big payment due, I believe, in May. And a lot of people are saying that the government's not going to be able to pay for it. What do you think is going to happen next?
You can put off debt payments by shuffling money around for a long time. And a lot of the people you owe money to will wait. There's only so long you can delay it. At some point, everyone goes to the courts and to their lawyers, and that's when the mess starts.
After talking to Robert Smith, I also spoke with an economist from the University of Puerto Rico.
Dr. Rosario Rivera.
And she told me that in her view, what happened is that Puerto Rican bonds were just too good of a deal.
The fact is that they were having a party at our expense.
It was a party. Because number one, Puerto Rican bonds were totally tax-free. And number two,
what they were saying to us is, I don't care if your economy is going to fail. I know you're going to pay me because that's in the Constitution.
There's an unusual clause in the island's constitution that Puerto Rico's government has to pay its debt before it pays for anything else, like education or healthcare. So investors thought, I'll get my money back no matter what. And because the bonds looked like such a sweet deal, Puerto Rico was able to borrow more money than it should have been able to because its economy had been falling apart for at least a decade.
The government had a party also, just issuing debt irresponsibly with no economic positive economic repercussions. So they were two irresponsible parties here.
Now, one third of all taxes collected in Puerto Rico are spent on paying off debt. To avoid cutting services, the government has jacked up the sales tax and utility bills. Water and electricity have doubled in the last few years. With no jobs anywhere and a skyrocketing cost of living, people leave. And that gets the island into what Professor Hector Cordero Guzman at Baruch College calls a death spiral.
Not enough people to pay taxes, not enough tax collection, not enough money to pay the debt, not enough money to pay for social services, which makes life for people more difficult, which means that more people leave, which means that the government has even less money.
What that means is that every part of the crisis actually makes every other part of the crisis worse.
Exactly. And to top it off, the American vulture funds that own much of the debt will now go to court and try to force Puerto Rico to pay up every last cent with money that the island doesn't have any way of getting. But here's the kicker. If this was any U.S. city or state, Puerto Rico would file for bankruptcy. A judge would look at the books and figure out how much Puerto Rico can afford to pay and over what time period and make a deal that everybody can live with.
But Puerto Rico cannot declare bankruptcy.
Exactly, because it's a territory. Puerto Rico doesn't have access to bankruptcy protection. And since it's not a country, it can't go to the IMF. It's stuck in limbo. And so the debt spiral continues.